guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Morena, Justine.
Morena, Rachel, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you? Did you have a nice Labor Day last Monday?
I absolutely did. Went to the beach and celebrated the working class.
Excellent. Like to hear that. Vive la proletariat and all that jazz.
Absolutely.
We've got some questions that people have been sending in over the last week and a wee bit, so we might just dive into it. First one is kind of around holidays as well. Somebody has said, how does advance annual leave work? I think I'm going to need to take some for Christmas. Will I be indebted?
So, yeah, if you've got, for instance, if you have 4 weeks of annual leave a year and you take 1 week in advance, then the next year you will only have three. So it kind of just minuses your next year's allotment of annual leave, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, that does make sense. So I guess you just got to know which holiday's worth it.
Exactly, and kind of plan like that, yeah.
But is it pretty standard if you want to ask your boss that, it's a pretty normal thing to ask, or what's the deal there?
It's a really normal thing to ask, actually, and it's just by agreement. So they can decline that because it does cost the organisation, you know, a little bit extra than probably their budget for annual leave, because they do budget mm-hmm. annually for annual leave, and they'll budget, you know, the whatever it is in your contract if it's 4 weeks. But it's a really, really, really common thing to ask. And generally speaking, if you have something important enough that you are asking for advance annual leave, your boss should be, you know, reasonable enough to let you have that, because it's not like you get an extra annual, you know, week next year.
Yeah.
So it does come out of your allotment the next year.
We've got actually a few questions about leave this morning. Somebody's asked about sick leave. They've used up their sick leave, but I know that the government is increasing sick leave next year. Is it worth bringing it up with my boss now, or should I just use my annual?
So it really depends what your contract says. So please read your contract around what you know is said around sick leave, because some contracts will have you have 5 days of sick leave, but we also could provide discretionary leave
right.
if you need more. So I would read that before asking for anything. Before the government changes the laws, unfortunately, we still we have what we have. But I think it's a good reason for them to be providing discretionary leave in the meantime,
mm-hmm.
especially because we've all had to take a little bit more sick leave this year than possibly we would have taken, you know, in the years before we were in a global pandemic.
Good point.
These days, every time you have a runny nose, you have to stay at home. So, read your contract. If there is discretionary leave, definitely have a chat with your boss about that. Otherwise, you might need to take annual leave. But I would talk to your boss, and, you know, like, if I were an employee in that situation, I would be having a conversation with the boss. Just to let people know, actually, this is a good point. If you are directed to take a test, if you would not have stayed home, if you don't feel sick enough to stay home, but you have symptoms, you let your employer know and they say, okay, you need to go take a test and then you need to isolate. If you've been directed to do so, that shouldn't come out of your sick leave allotment.
Okay. That's a really good point and very good to know. Thank you very much for that one, Justine. On the general leave area as well, we've got a question about maternity leave. I think springboarding off the back of a maternity question we had a couple of weeks ago, someone says, what are my rights when it comes to maternity leave? I'm a casual contractor, but I've been contracting to the same company for nearly a year.
So that's a really good question, and I have to be honest, like, I had to research this, because contractors often are, you know, do the same work as employees but don't have the same rights
mm-hmm.
in a lot of senses. But in this case, happy to report that actually technically contractors are self-employed, but even self-employed people have access to paternity leave, and that is, you just need to meet some criteria, and that criteria is if you've worked more than 10 hours a week for 26 out of the 52 weeks of the year. So I would assume that this person probably does meet that criteria if you've worked for the company for more than a year, or contracted to the company for more than a year, as long as you've been working more than 10 hours. I would say that, yes, you do qualify for paid maternity leave.
Awesome. That is very good news for that person, hopefully. I'm sure
yeah.
that you're right. I think it probably would fit the bill. Somebody here has asked, my contract's got a clause stating I might be required to work compulsory unpaid overtime. What the heck is that?
Yeah, I don't know. that doesn't seem in line with the law. No, no. There was an amendment to the 2016 to the Employment Relations Act in 2016 to legislate that no one should be working overtime without being paid. And even if you're required to be available, you know, like firefighters, for instance, have to be available 24/7. There needs to be some availability provision. So you need to get something for being required to be available. There are some countries, like in the UK, you know, overtime doesn't necessarily have to be paid. But if you're paid an hourly rate, so say you get paid $25 an hour, and you're not on a salary, so this is important. So salary workers and wage workers are different. So a salary worker, you're told how much you make a year, right? And it's not quite per hour. Mm-hmm. And so for them, overtime is a little bit more tricky. But most of us are wage workers, so we make per hour. Sorry, I'm sorry, trying to talk for 2 seconds. So what I'm trying to say is, if you are a wage worker and you make per hour, you shouldn't. There's unpaid overtime is not, according to the legislation, that's not legal. And I would say that contract would possibly contravene that. But they can't. You can't contract yourself out of legislation. So whatever the legislation is, it would trump what's in the contract.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense.
If a contract is offers entitlements. Actually, below what is the legislated minimum, legislation is what trumps that. So that doesn't sound right to me, and I would talk to your union rep or potentially the Community Law Centre about that, actually.
And we've just had a last-minute question come through now. Someone's asked, I'm a self-employed artist. Do we have a union?
That's a really, really good question. I don't know the answer to that. Can I answer that next week?
You absolutely can. So stay tuned for that one, listener. Thank you for that text. And thank you very much, Justine.
No worries at all.
Have a lovely rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Talk to you next Monday. Bye, Rachel.
Bye.
Yeah, take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs.